Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is a tall, dark man in the top hat roaming around Grandma's farm? And who are the dark silhouettes that only appear to the reflections of an antique mirror? Those stories, calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our number. To share your real ghost stories with us, if you like the show and you want to keep us on the air and you want all those EPP bonus episodes, a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, which in itself is like a $14 value, advanced episodes of the program, sign up to be an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. And then get all that stuff. That's how it works. And you keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you today?
I'm not too bad, Tony. Well, it didn't come out, but I'm really not too bad. So maybe I should rephrase that. I'm kind of sick.
Kind of ill. Kind of got the scurvy. Yeah.
And I was trying to fake it. Like, I'm not too bad.
It's doing great.
Everything's fine.
I think
it's just actually I'm way better than I was like yesterday.
Yeah.
I called my sister and she got to laughing so hard and I couldn't get anything out. And when it did come out, I was in a really weird high-pitched voice. And why she kept saying this, I have no idea. She goes, "You sound like someone who should be on Hee Haw." What?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. And I said, am I supposed to talk about going down yonder? And what? I just don't know what you mean by that. But the more she said it, like, I couldn't even, I was crying. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, I'm losing my voice. I never thought I sounded like an old hick from Hee Haw. Apparently she thought
wow. I learned, speaking of Hee Haw, which is not a phrase yet normally comes about with speaking of Hee Haw, but I actually learned a couple days ago that the last handful of seasons of Hee Haw were actually filmed here in Branson. I had no idea.
It feels very Branson.
It does. Yeah. I could never, my grandma loved watching it. I remember when I was over there, she's like, "Oh, let's watch Hee Haw." And I just, it was like, this is the worst television show I think I've ever seen in my life.
And I don't know why losing half my voice made me sound like I should be on Hee Haw. I don't know. But apparently yesterday I did.
Yesterday you sound like you should have been.
That's not a real flattering voice. Like, I'd rather people, you know, oh my God, you should be on, like, you know, some cool BBC America show. Where they all have these lovely accents and sound amazing. No, I got Hee Haw.
Hee Haw. There you go. Well, it's goals, you know. You strive for the goals. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. And there we go. It says, "Forgive my grammar. English is my third language, so I'm not perfect. My name is Aurora. I moved to Northern California to take care of my grandfather until he passed away, and I stayed to take care of my now widowed grandmother. I live in the guest cottage that was converted from a European World War II army barracks. I lived alone for about a year, and during that time, cabinets would open. I'd hear tapping at times and thought someone was using a telegraph machine is what it sounded like, but that was as bad as it got. About 6 months ago, my husband Sebastian moved in to help me, and that's when things kicked off, so to say. I have a collection of porcelain dolls and another collection of music boxes, and both began to move. Music boxes began to play on their own within a week of his moving in. We'll wake up, make breakfast, and every cabinet would be opened or lights would go on and off by themselves in the first month. It escalated further when we found a knife in the wall in our kitchen. We've had people touch us. I've had someone invisible pull me down the front stairs in our home. I recently heard someone tell me to get out, and in my native language, and I've heard someone call my name. We both have. Sebastian has seen full body shadows outside, including a woman who is all in black, whom I used to see as a child. He's seen a woman in all white walking around the 5.5-acre property we share with my Oma. I have seen a tall man in a black, all in black and with a top hat as well. It's a bit hard to describe, but he's more of a form with what looks like a top hat, but he has no real distinct features. It's just more of an impression, so to speak, like a shadow person. He gives me a very angry feeling, so I don't believe he's a good thing. The latest increase was a night where we were chased out of our home by something invisible, throwing silverware at the two of us. It started with a fork being thrown at me, and over the course of about 20 minutes or so, we both were getting hit with spoons, knives, and forks about once a minute or more. Sebastian has seen shadows inside the house, but I have not. He is, as you would say, sensitive and has claimed to be a medium. Sebastian has offered to use a spirit box to see if we can communicate. I'm a bit fearful. We're in the process of moving ourselves and my grandmother into a smaller, more manageable property, closer to my work, and hopefully away from all things haunted. Before we go, do you think it's a good idea for me to allow my husband to try to talk to whatever is here, or do you think that will make it even worse? I really appreciate your show. It intrigues me that others, too, have seen the man in the top hat. Thank you for your time. And sorry for my grammar. No, I don't think it's a good idea to try and communicate with this thing.
Hell no. Don't let him go talking to that.
It's not.
They're throwing knives at you. What good is he going to find out?
Could you please stop? This is just, you know, it's really kind of making us uncomfortable.
Here comes another one.
Yeah, no.
If it's some kind of entity that is throwing kitchen utensils and knives and opening up things, like, this isn't a friendly conversation you're going to have with that spirit.
No.
It's not going to be good. That's an angry spirit. Like, why do you want to go opening up that door?
I'm wondering if there's, you know, more than one thing going on here, and if you try and open up that door, you could be inviting even more things in there.
Right?
That, you know, and for whatever reason, there's already something very negative there. It's interesting that it all came about when he showed up to the house. You know, I'm wondering, you know, does he dabble in trying to communicate with these things outside of this incident? And are these things that are just kind of following him? I'd be curious if he were
Or is he a secret knife thrower?
That's the question we all want to know, in the creepy Dateline voice. And they thought it was an evil spirit that was haunting the home.
I always love it when you do that guy. What's his name, Keith?
I don't even remember.
Keith, somebody from Dateline.
Yeah. And it turned out the husband had a secret ability to throw knives with his toes.
Or did he?
He would hide knives behind his ears and propel them across the room, narrowly missing an artery.
Keith? Well, that one guy.
That one guy from Dateline that talks really creepy.
In the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up and go, oh, yeah, Keith, yeah. That guy.
But no, I don't know. I mean, there's something. I would be curious. I would really say, hey, you know what? How about you go on vacation for a week by yourself? Just take a mancation, if that's even a word, and see if the activity in the house slows down or stops. And then when he comes back, see if the knives start flowing again. But I would venture to say that even if you move to another location, I'd be wondering if it's not the location that's so haunted as it is a person that is haunted.
And who's willing to talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. No. Just move.
Yeah.
Go to some nice little place that's not haunted. And
have him bathe in holy water.
No kidding. Like, send him to the holy water sauna.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing.
Sweat out all the demons. That sounded so mean.
Sweat the demons. It sounds like some sort of like really perverse person that's like trying to do be an exorcist or something. It's like, yes, you know what? We're going to sweat the demons out. Or a new Richard Simmons video. Sweating the demons out to the hits or to the oldies or something.
And poor Richard Simmons, who knows what's happening with him?
We haven't seen him forever. He's kind of MIA.
It's mysterious.
Maybe he is a demon. Maybe he's
Don't make me laugh.
He disappeared.
That rules. You can't make me laugh.
He teleports. And right now he's just planning his comeback along with Tupac. 855.
All of a sudden she's got knives being thrown and nobody knows where Richard Simmons is.
Just saying.
In your best Keith, whatever his name is, voice. Coincidence.
Coincidence? Knives are flying. Forks are flowing through the air towards one's head. And no one knows where Richard Simmons is. Coincidence? Look, no, it's not. It's nothing to do with the other thing. Or does it? 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I'll go to our next story and let you get to your hairball. Says, hi, my name is Jerry. I'm writing this story to you since I'm actually from Finland. I haven't heard many stories from outside of the U.S. or U.K., so I wanted to share mine, even if it was just by writing. My English pronunciation isn't too good, so I'll spare you from that. My story isn't exactly a ghost story, but a really creepy experience of what I later discovered to be sleep paralysis. But who knows? It could have something paranormal in it. I decided to send it to you mainly because it has some differences to the usual sleep paralysis experiences that people tend to talk about. Usually when people talk about these experiences, they describe how they often lay in bed, on their back, can't move while something is standing next to them or over them. Well, my experience was a bit different. I was about 17 years old, I'm now 23, and living on my own for the first time. I lived alone in a small studio on a single apartment building close to my high school. The building was mostly inhabited by elderly people due to its suitable location. My landlord also told me that the person who lived there before I was an elderly person. I don't know if they moved to a different place or if they died. I didn't personally think it's connected to the story. Anyway, one night I slept alone in my bed, which was tucked in the corner of a small apartment. It was a pretty big bed. I usually slept close to the wall, which left huge open space to the other side of the bed. I never liked sleeping near the border of any bed. I remember waking up with a weird feeling. My upper body was hanging uncomfortably from the bed, my face pressed against the cold floor. My hands were in a weird position, and my hips and legs were still on the bed, my back and shoulders hurting, but I couldn't move. It was dark, and while I felt like I was completely awake, it felt like there was something controlling my actions. I felt panic rising when I realized that I was staring right into the mirror that I had hanging on my wall next to my bed. The mirror, just like most of my other furniture, was bought secondhand. I could move my eyes a little bit, making out the dark silhouettes of the room's furniture and windows, but when my eyes moved to the direction of the mirror, I suddenly couldn't look away anymore. I've never been so scared in my life, and the feeling was something I had felt before, was something I'd never felt before, nor have I ever felt it again. I have pretty bad panic attacks, but this felt like I was a small animal facing a huge and deadly predator with no way to escape. I stared right into the mirror. It was dark, and suddenly I saw a pale white face emerging into its surface. I couldn't see or make out any specific features, but then I can't remember them. But I remember they had black eyes and open mouths. They looked crooked and almost angry, or like they were in pain. The faces emerged from the shadows of the mirror and then faded away, kind of in turns. There were at least five of them. I wanted to look away, but I couldn't. There were no voices that I could remember, just the panicky breathing of my heart. This went on for what felt like 5 or 10 minutes until I somehow broke free. I collapsed into the floor and could suddenly move again. I gasped for air and I sat up. I could feel my back and neck still hurting from this awful position. It was still dark and I realized it was still night. Everything suddenly felt kind of normal, but I was still so scared that I took my blanket and pillow and ran inside my bathroom. I slept there the rest of the night behind a locked door. I didn't want to be in any way close to that mirror, and I didn't want to accidentally look into it and see something I didn't want to see. This experience has stayed with me for years, and I've thought about it a lot. This incident never repeated, even though the mirror stayed in the apartment. I'm pretty sure it was sleep paralysis what I experienced, since I remember being awake and feeling every second of the situation. I haven't had any other sleep paralysis after that, and I think I never had them as a child either, but I still avoid looking into any mirrors when it's dark. Anyway, I really love your podcast. Just signed up to be an EPP. Haven't enjoyed any podcast as much as this one. You guys are awesome. Looking forward to your thoughts on my story. Keep up the good work. I gotta say, I don't think this was sleep paralysis. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same. It wasn't quite what I think of as sleep paralysis.
No, I mean, unless you're falling asleep in that weird position which they woke up in. I mean, sleep paralysis just happens when you're sleeping. What seemed to occur here is like something almost like kind of lifted this person up and kind of contorted their body around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, made him see some stuff. So was there a paralysis involved? Sure, but I think this one was very clearly more of a paranormal type situation with what occurred, especially with the way the body was contorted. That's not normal with sleep paralysis.
Or was it really contorted, or did he just think it was?
Well,
because I know that with sleep paralysis, like your mind plays mm-hmm. these super dark tricks on you, or unless it's really happening, I don't know.
Well, they said that when they woke up, they collapsed back down into the bed. So
yeah. Or did he really?
Yeah,
you
I don't
know what
know.
I mean? No, it's yeah. like because I've had some. Of those sleep paralysis events where it's like, okay, if I could just move in that whatever it is that's coming in my bedroom right now,
mm-hmm.
like it's so real. Like I know 100% I'm awake.
Sure.
But I also know in real life there's nothing standing by my bed. I mean, when I did finally make myself open my eyes, it's like, it seemed like I was so awake and all of that really happened, mm-hmm. but did it?
That's the question.
So I don't know.
We're all trying to find the answer to. Did it ever
Morrison,
really happen?
Keith Morrison.
Morris, you're right. Yes. Keith Morrison has the story. I'm going
to
talk
answers as well.
Super creepy for the next 15 minutes. And this is not even a story about murder or anything of the type. This is a story about dairy cows, and we're going to make them sound very, very dangerous. It'd be great.
You can't make me laugh.
It'd be great.
I'll never quit.
Keith Morrison reads children's fairy tales. You know, the audiobooks.
He did The Grinch, and he did it really well.
He did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Google it.
I will. I'll look that up. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, my name is Mitchell Roberts. I live in Corpus Christi, Texas. My whole life I've always had odd things happen, you know, stuff being moved around or hearing weird voices. You know, I've always had like a presence with me. You know, my mom said she had it too. She died just a few years ago. And, you know, the last few months I've, you know, I haven't been doing real good. I've been drinking a lot, you know, kind of slipping. Me and my wife just moved to Corpus from Montana. And, so the last few days I've posted this on Facebook the last 3 days, as soon as it started happening. I woke up one morning and, my wife came home. She woke me up. I had these big long scratches on my leg, and I didn't know where they came from. You know, so I posted it on Facebook and I asked, you know, people what they thought about it. And they said, you know, there's all kinds of comments like I did it to myself because I hadn't cut my toenails and, you know, it could be a ghost or whatever. Anyway, I couldn't figure it out. So yesterday morning, me and my wife woke up. And we were sitting there, and I kept feeling these burns on my back and on my chest. And I finally took my shirt off, and I would get these three scratches across my body. Well, you know, so I'd take a picture of it, and then it would fade away. They never would stay. It would fade it away, and then I would feel them on my back. And then I'd get my wife to take another picture. And it just kept going all day long. And, anyway, it just kept going all day long. It was like that. And, so I kept taking pictures of them. And I posted it on Facebook, you know, and I asked people what they thought about it. Well, yesterday morning, after this, it had kept going on, you know, and around the house, you know, we would have doors become unlocked and locked, and our TV channel would change, or the TV would go off completely, or, you know, bathroom lights would stay on or off, and like, stuff in the room would be out of order, or I'd make the bed, and then I'd come here, and it'd be unmade, and, I mean, it's just a whole bunch of weird stuff. Well, yesterday morning, I got a real bad burn on my back, and I took off my shirt, and I let my wife take a picture of it. Well, you're not going to believe this, but in the picture, it says mom on my back. To, you know, she burnt mom so that she would know her, so that I would know, you know, that it was her. Anyway, I took a picture of it. You know, I posted it on Facebook or whatever. But yeah, that's my ghost story. It's true. It is so true, and it happened over the course of 3 days. You know, the encounters and everything had been going on for a while, but the physical aspect of it, the burns and the scratches and the burn that says mom on my back, it was all true, and it happened in 3 days. If you would, give me a call.
So, what a loving way to come back. Let me put my cigarette out on your back again and let you know it's me. That's just like, what the fuck?
I don't want that to be his mom.
No, I don't.
It can't be his mom.
I don't think it is his mom. I mean, as much as he may, you know, maybe want the a connection or a sign that she's over there, I think this is something that knows that if there's a desire for that relationship,
yeah,
that if it says, hey, it's mom, that this person, that he'll believe it and continue on trying to communicate in some way, shape, or form. And it's something much darker than that. That's not mom.
Didn't he say he just moved to Corpus Christi?
I believe so.
And that he's had like something around him in his life. But I just wonder if for some reason, wherever he moved into, if that kind of opened up a door, mm-hmm, like start looking for a new place. But because that shit ain't right.
No. And that's not mom.
No.
I understand how someone could be, you know, manipulated because, you know, if you want to talk to your mom again, you know, sure, you're going to have, it's going to be, oh, great. But when it's burned into you, no. Oh.
Well, he didn't really say he and his mom had a nice, loving relationship.
No, I mean, that would be my
and
other.
He didn't say anything that made me think he didn't have a good relationship with his mom.
I know. I mean, unless mom was, you know, an abuser and this is, you know, I mean, if that's the case, well, that's a fucked up way to come back. You know, it's like, but maybe, you know, she wasn't at all, you know, because he seemed to find some peace with it being saying mom, which leads me to think maybe it wasn't a bad relationship. I don't know. But, you know, every once in a while I get a story here and I'm just like, haven't heard that one before. And I'm going to put that one in that category of haven't heard that one before.
But, well, it just seems like going to a new place, and he's kind of in a dark place right now anyway, because he's drinking a lot, but something's just not right.
Yeah.
I would be finding a new place to live.
Yeah. And don't be so, so quick to jump on whatever it is saying it is who it is, because that just it doesn't add up.
That would not be your mom.
No.
Your mom doesn't do that shit.
No.
My mom's kind of crazy, and she isn't going to come back and do that stuff.
No. No. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. I hope that gave a little insight there.
And I hope that it has stopped.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. So another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, this is Joanne from Canada. And the story I'd like to tell is this happened to me and my husband a couple years ago. We were living on this little island off the west coast of Canada and taking care of this beautiful property for his landlord. And next to the barn that she had there was the walls of an old 1800s house that belonged to her grandfather. She had taken it apart and hauled the walls to her grandfather's house to the barn. and stack them like, you know, walls or, stack them against each other. And so they had been there for years and they were so rotten that they had almost, they were almost turning into soil. So my husband phoned her and said, you know, we're doing a major yard burn. Can we burn this old wood that's next to the barn? It could be a fire hazard, whatever. And she said yes. She was ready to let go of her grandfather's house. And so that day we had a massive burn. And, the, you know, it was huge. It was a great fire. Well, that night when I was in bed, I was awoken three times out of my sleep by the same woman. The first time I was awoken by her, I shot up out of bed for no reason, just sat up, and I looked to my left, and there was a woman standing there. She was about 12 feet away from the bed and facing northbound, like to where I was. She was facing the opposite way, like standing sideways to me. And she had no face. She had no facial features, but her hair, the clothing she wore and the hair, her hairstyle, it was very around like the pioneers kind of clothing. So I just kind of, I often have experiences like this, so I pushed it off and went back to sleep. Again, I was woken up the same night, bolted up, sat up, and looked to my left. And again, she was there in the same place, standing sideways, and she had no face. Again, I pushed it off, went back to sleep. The third time she woke me up, that was when I tried to wake up my husband and trying to kind of like, what is this? What is going on? And finally, I just grabbed onto him and I went back to sleep. The next morning when I woke up, I realized that I think what happened is that this woman was the landlord's grandmother. And I think that by our burning the walls to this house, to this old house that she was hanging on to, I think it finally released her spirit. And why she had no face, I think it's because in that generation of time, individualism wasn't very recognized. We were part of a group. We were part of a collective. So she was part of her collective. She was serving the people that she, you know, her family. That was her identity. And so that's why I think she came to me with no face. So anyway, that's what I wanted to tell you. And I think the experience was about witnessing her passing. And it happened three times, which I think is significant. So anyway, thank you very much. This is Joanne from Canada. I love listening to your show. I work as a janitor, and I work often evenings, and I love listening to your scary stories. Anyway, have a great day, and I will continue listening. Bye.
Interesting story as far as what was going on there and the... Now, the visit, what's your thoughts?
Well, isn't it weird how, like, a spirit would cling on to those old walls that are literally disintegrating? And then once they actually destroy him, then she sees the spirit. You know, it's just, I get that, but it's like, really? You're hanging around for that? But I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I think, I mean, what I was waiting for was like the spirit to be angry that the home was destroyed or just burned because it was time for it to go. But it seems like it was more of a release. It was more of a, okay, this time is now gone and I'm just kind of showing myself as I'm passing through is kind of what I was getting out of it.
And I wonder if like, you know, I don't know, does a spirit necessarily have to be stuck there all that time with that crappy old walls?
Yeah.
You know, or did she just come back because that was the last of that home?
It's one last visit.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
That's an idea. But, you know, because it just seems so weird to me how a spirit would cling on to something like that.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, to us and in the present term, you look at the house and it's dilapidated and it's falling apart and there's not much to it. But what I wonder about structures and things of that nature, sometimes the ghosts that are still operating around them, are they seeing it in that form, or are they seeing it in the form of what it was in its prime? And now that the structure is completely gone, does that then mess that up? Does that then completely change the fact that since the structure is gone?
They're not really seeing the house for what it is anyway. Yeah. How do they really know it's gone?
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Like, does it need to at least be there for it to have in just the structure form? Because we've had that where there's been stories of people like in a remodeled house or a hotel, and they seem to have ghosts that are like almost what they look like. They're floating above where the ground is. And then they go back and they look into the history of like the hotel or something. And then they discover, oh, well, that would explain that. There used to be a large walkway balcony up over there that doesn't exist anymore. But that would explain why it appears that the ghosts that some people are seeing are almost operating as if this balcony was still there. So it's almost like sometimes they're still working on or operating within the terms of how things were when they were alive. I mean, then does it all change then when the structure is gone completely?
Yeah.
I don't know. But interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one from the foreign land of Canada. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That'll wrap it up for this program. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, over at ghostpodcast.com. Get a copy of the book, e-copy of the book you get when you sign up. Get all the EPP bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes. It's all there for you. Keep us on the air, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.